Good morning. Welcome to our morning service. We are Alamo Heights Baptist Church, located in Midland, Texas. We are in the heart of West Texas' largest oil reserve. Our
Good morning. As usual, it's good to be in the Lord's house today. Amen. My sermon today is going to be getting on board with Jesus. I'm going to be talking about getting on board with Jesus, and that's what we'll be talking about. This is in continuation of the sanctification series that I've been speaking on, and today we're going to be talking about getting on board with Jesus, more like actually getting on the boat with Him all the way to the very end. Amen? And so that's what we'll be talking about today. Now, to start off with, I'll just say this, that right now, for example, if you were to watch most of the news on TV, or just watch a lot of the stuff on TV, or things on the radio, or the things going on around you, there's a lot of information out there, and it affects the way that we think. And also our surroundings, like, for example, your home environment, your work environment, those different things, they all have ways of affecting the way that we view the world also. And then also just our initiative. Like, for example, maybe at your job, with your initiative that you have on your jobs and the things in the atmosphere of your workplaces and kind of the corporate environment or whatever. Those things actually affect the way that we think also. And then, of course, our relationships. All of our relationships affect the way that we do. So what I'm basically saying in introduction here is that our total environment, everything that we're around, affects the way that we see the world, doesn't it? And it affects our perception. As a matter of fact, I want to say this. If we're not careful as Christians, it can change our perception. It can change our perception. And the main thing that we have to do, brothers and sisters, if we're going to be people that are walking in holiness, in sanctification, is we got to be walking in truth, despite whatever our environment is, despite what our input is. We have to be walking in truth. One of the biggest concerns that I've always had in times where I worked in youth ministry, and even now, is the fact that like, for example, a lot of the young people, when they get ready to go to college, and then you get a professor that would actually be saying particular things, and if the young people were not ingrained into the truth, so much of what can be taught there can be actually swaying people in another direction. But it's not just the young people going to college, it's all of us. It's the way that we live our lives every day and what we're around. For example, look at our country. Look at our country right now. We're split right down the middle in this country. Where did we ever get such an idea that maybe the killing of the unborn would be something acceptable? When would we get to the point where some of the ways and behaviors now that we see would be something acceptable, but we're actually seeing that that's happening. And I just want to say this, that the Word of God and the influence of the Word of God into this world is literally a light that is literally shining in darkness. If you would look at our country or look at our world right now, if you could imagine this room being dark right now. And I thought about at one point maybe coming in here today, turning the lights off and then turning a flashlight on, because that's really what the Word of God is doing in this world, and that's really what the world is right now. It's a very, very dark place. And it's being manifest in a lot of things that we see going on. So I just want to say the key to our success as a Christian is all involved with our daily walk. And so when we've been talking about sanctification for a few weeks now and really kind of specifying and getting specifically onto that particular topic there, that's the thing that affects our daily walk. We need, all of us need a daily walk with Christ, don't we? And as a matter of fact, our daily walk with Christ is not just responsible for our earthly success, but it's actually responsible for our eternal success. And so it's actually something bleeding over into eternity. What we do now is longer than our lifetime. It's longer than our lifetime. That's why we need to be enveloped in the truth. And the truth is the thing that's going to ensure that we are sanctified people, we're holy people walking in the Word of God. Now, with that being said, one of the things that happens is, you know, a lot of people feel very carefree until they get to the end of their life. And a lot of people, man, when they get to the end of their life, and we don't always get this privilege to be able to have a conversation with God before we check out. But some people do. And what I'm going to show you in the Word of God this morning is an example of three different people all at the same time that were at the end of this physical life. And we're going to look at these three people in an introduction here to kind of to get this thing started this morning. And I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Now that I've introduced it that way, every one of you probably knows it better by the fact that when Jesus hung on the cross, there was two criminals hanging on crosses as well. And so all three of these people were physically at the end of their physical life. And so a lot of people, whenever they say to themselves, when I get to the end of my life, then maybe I'll serve Jesus then. Maybe I'll get serious about it then, and I'll tell Jesus, hey, forgive me for my sins, and I'll just do what I want. And that's really a bad mistake. Let's look at Luke chapter 23, 39 through 43, and see these three men at the end of their physical life. Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. We're yelling insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, don't you even fear God since you were undergoing the same punishment? We are punished justly because we're getting back what we deserve for the things we did, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you today that you will be with me in paradise. So here's these three people here, one of them being Jesus, God, paying for the sins of mankind. And so what we see here, the first one that I want us to look at is the first guy is the guy that actually saw his need for Jesus, saw his need for salvation. And you see him trusting Jesus as his Savior and Lord. And so that's kind of encouraging because a lot of times I'll have conversations with people and they'll go, I don't know where somebody stood with the Lord and their relationship with them. And I always say to them, we don't know what kind of conversations that people have with Jesus at the end of their life. We have no idea. But we got to see this man's conversation with him, and he realized he was a sinner, and he realized that Jesus was the Messiah, the one to pay for his sins and being God and could pay for his sins. And he put his trust in him, and he repented of his sins and asked him to forgive him his sins and actually was saved right then and there at the end of his life. But here's another one that you see here. You see the other criminal that's hanging on the cross. And as we look at the other criminal hanging on the cross, what do you see there? You see a man with a hard heart. Look at what he says there. He says, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us, he said. That person there at the end of his life was unlike the other one. He had a hard heart. But look at what he was saying there. He's saying, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Do you see what he's doing there? He's expecting Jesus to be that genie. All he was wanting out of Jesus was, hey, Jesus, if you're really God, then get us off of this cross where I can get on about my business and all the things that I want to be doing. You see that there? He could care less about his eternity. He just wanted off the cross to go on about his life. And that's the way that a lot of people see Jesus. I think that's important as you hear this sermon this morning to know that as we express the gospel to a lost and dying world, this is the way that a lot of people see Jesus. They see him like, hey, Jesus, I need you to do this for me. In this man's case, get me off the cross where I can get on being a criminal. I guess Jesus thought that crime would pay, but it certainly didn't. But the next thing that I want to say here is, as we look at this, we see something that's also very important. We see that salvation is so near to every one of us. Right here, as we look at this on the cross, were three men, and salvation was right there for the other two men for them to have. As a matter of fact, salvation was there for the crowd that gathered around also. Salvation was so near, and yet when you look at this other criminal that was saying, save us, get us off of here, salvation was so far away. And that's the way that it is in life. We go through our life and actually Jesus is there and wanting to save each and every person, and he's that close and he's just a prayer away. And yet for some people, he's a million miles away. And we see an example of this. And that's why you see a lot of people that think, you know, I'll get serious with Jesus later on. I've got too much life to live right now. I've got too many things to accomplish. I've got too many things that I want to do. I want to do what everybody else is doing. I mean, I don't know what all the reasons are. But there's a lot of people that just think, well, it worked for that one guy on the cross because he got to the end of his life and then he got saved. And he did get saved, didn't he? He got saved. And we do know that it doesn't matter whether you got saved at a young age or if you got saved at the end of your life. What matters is that you get saved before you check out of this life. But we see a lot of people that think that this is what I'll do. But what I want to say here is really one part that we don't talk about. That's a very dangerous idea. That's a very dangerous idea. The reason why it's such a dangerous idea is because of pride. And what does pride do? Well, pride says, I don't need Jesus. And the more that a person says, I don't need Jesus, the more callous they get. And so when we see this here, we see one man that had gone through his whole life saying, I don't need Jesus. And the more that he said, I don't need Jesus, the more calloused his heart got. And as he got to the end of his life, it was so callous that he didn't have the wherewithal to say and come out of his pride. And this is something that pride does to human beings, is pride calluses our heart to something that we call faith. And so a lot of people will say, well, I'll just wait, and that's a very dangerous proposition for that reason alone. As a matter of fact, as we think about this, we see one man that's receiving Jesus Christ on the cross, and we see a few of the people out in the crowd that are believers in Jesus Christ. But what put Jesus there in the first place besides sin? We know. But we have a crowd of people that were saying, what? Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! They shouted out. They demanded his crucifixion. That, my brothers and sisters, is pride and callousness right there. That's the result of it. And that's what we see happening there. And so they realize, we see here that one of the guys there realized his need for Jesus. Now, look at the difference between the two. You see one with a hard heart, a calloused heart, and you see one over here that's got a soft heart, realizing, I'm going to die. And what's going to happen to me after I die, when the lights go off, so to speak? Well, we go on into eternity. And one couldn't care less. All he wanted was another day of life. But I got to tell you, when we get to the end of life, we don't get another day of physical life. And one realized it. But what was keeping the other one from seeing it? It was his pride. But we see one was willing to realize that. You see what he said here? He said, we deserve these things. He said, we deserve these things. We're sinners. And not just criminals, but the things that go on in our own minds are criminal a lot of times, aren't they? I mean, let's be honest. The Bible says that our righteousness is filthy rags. The Bible tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. And so we all know that we need Jesus, but it requires us to actually not be involved in pride, but realizing I am a sinner, and I do need Jesus. And I just want to say this. This isn't just a message to the people today that might not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but it is, but it's to us that know Jesus Christ also. We can become callous as well. We can become callous as well, and so we will go through our entire life thinking, well, I'll do the Jesus thing later. And then our hearts become calloused and no telling where things go. But this one criminal on the cross, he realized he needed Jesus' holiness, not his own. He realized his own righteousness was the thing that put him on the cross in the first place. He realized his need, and he also realized this. He realized he was moments away from paradise. Now, moments away from paradise because Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Isn't that what you want to hear whenever you're at the end of your life? That the next, I heard it expressed, and we've heard it expressed before, inhale in this world and exhale in the spiritual world, right? And that's what was going to happen here, is this man was just in a few moments was going to inhale this physical world and exhale in heaven, paradise. And so that's the thing that we're all looking at. But the other one could have cared less. He could have cared less. And this is something that we see going on in our world now. We see going on in our world now that we see some people that very much care for the things of God. But we also see a lot of other people that could care less. And it's because of pride and callousness that's happening. People don't want to accept the truth of who Jesus is. It took this one guy all the way to his death to finally get to the point and go, wow, I need Jesus. But the thing is, and what I want to say to us today is maybe we have the opportunity to really walk with Jesus for the rest of our lives instead of just waiting till the last moments. And so that's what I'll be talking about today is getting on board with Jesus. As a matter of fact, my first point this morning is getting on board with Jesus. And as I talk about getting on board with Jesus, and we look at this here, I want you to look at the converted criminal, the one criminal that cried out to Jesus and was told, today you'll be with me in paradise. As we look at that there, he had a brand new understanding. What do I mean by that? At this point, he had a new understanding because see what he said to the other criminal? He said, hey, he goes, why are you saying all these things? This guy didn't even deserve to be here. And we need him, he's saying. And I just want to say this, that whenever the Holy Spirit gets hold of us and faith starts going out, whenever we hear the gospel and we start walking as new Christians, something happens. What is that? Here's what happens. We change. We're made a new creature. And we see here that we're probably a couple of weeks before, that guy with the other criminal would have been going, hey, what kind of crime do you want to commit next? But here he's going, man, what's wrong with you? We're going to die. And it's going to be in just a few moments. And he doesn't even belong here. He hasn't done anything. He realized who Jesus was. And I think the other guy did too, but I just think he didn't care. Just like I don't think a lot of people do care anymore, because they continue to go on in their pride and their sin, and they insist on not letting Jesus be the one in charge of their life. They don't want that. They want to be in charge as if they're going to live forever. But we don't, do we? You know, we see also that the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul, and he was actually going around persecuting Christians and even seeing some Christians put to death. And then after we see that he met Jesus, something changed. He no longer wanted to say, it doesn't matter. He all of a sudden had a new perspective. He was a changed man. And such a changed man that the rest of his life looked completely different from his life before his conversion. Right? And so here's another thing. When we see this happening here, we see that happens. We have a changed life. We suddenly, listen to this, we suddenly have a burden for souls. Let me ask you this morning, as you sit here today, do you have a burden for lost souls? Do you care whether people go on into eternity, go on in our case, if we were to leave today, into paradise? Does that matter to you? Well, it should, because one of the signs that we've been changed is we no longer think the way that we used to think. We think about now and for eternity, and we want to take as many people with us as possible. Amen? So do you have a burden for souls? Because that's one of the signs of life, is that we have a burden for souls. We see the other criminal on the cross immediately was like looking at the other one going, what are you thinking? You need to go to heaven too. And the only way that you get there is through this man that you're saying, do some magic tricks for us. And here's another one, a love for the Word of God. One of the things that we saw with Paul, and one of the things that I saw in my life, and one of the things that I think, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've been wanting to be sanctified, you want to continue to grow in Christ, you have a love for the Word of God. You have a love for the Word of God because the Word of God is the thing that changes us. How do I know who I'm supposed to be in Christ? We like to talk about like it just magically happens, that we just magically know what to do. Well, we kind of do. And let me tell you how. That's by opening the Word of God and listening to the Word of God and looking at the Word of God and seeing that the Word of God says particular things for us to do. And we go, oh, and we take that by faith. And when we accept that by faith and see that it's truth, it changes us. It changes us. And you know what? We get to where we kind of like it. Why? Because it's what we're designed to do once we become a new creation in Christ, is we're made alive. And so there's something on the inside of us that goes, yeah, this is what I've been missing. And in the case of the one criminal, he actually figured it out right there at the very end. He finally dropped his pride and realized, man, I'm in trouble. I'm a sinner. What does it take for us to realize that we're sinners? What does it take for us to realize that we need Jesus? And what I want to say is, wouldn't it be great if we realized it long before the end of our life, where we could actually continue to grow in sanctification? But not only do we have a love for the Word of God, but we have a love for His church. Now, I know I'm the preacher, so I'm supposed to love the church, right? But so are you. So are we all. And the Bible tells us it's there for us to be built up in, for us to grow. And so we have a love for it. And we have a love for it not because it's a religious practice and so therefore the Bible says and so I guess I got to do it. No, what happens with faith once we become a new creation is we do the things that God tells us to do and we get involved with the church that God puts us in and it starts making the changes in our life. It's a real process. It's a real process that happens with new life. And we have that word. I thought I'd get an amen for that one. I guess not. So I'll just preach a little harder then, right? But listen, here's another one. We have a desire. We have a desire for a sanctified life. We have a desire for it. As a matter of fact, not only do we have a desire for a sanctified life, but we also have a desire to walk away from the things that keep us from a sanctified life. Now, you didn't hear me say that. We walk around and we go, I'm a Christian, so now I don't make mistakes and I don't have any problems and I'm perfect. That's not what you hear me saying. What you hear me saying is when those things that get in my flesh and get in my way and get in our way happen, we go, oh, we're used to it. We're like, right on, bring it on. Now we don't. We've been changed. There's a desire for a sanctified life. One of the things that we have is we have the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, we have the Gospels to do what? When we look at the Gospels, we have a chance to look at this person who paid the price for our sins. God as a man and fully God, Jesus, we see who He is in the Gospels. And in the Gospels, we get to see who He is and we get to find out what it is that makes Him happy and what it is that He's done for us, and we develop some appreciation. The next place that I want to go in today's sermon is in Mark chapter 4, verse 37. Go with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. As we go to Mark chapter 4, verse 37, we're going to see something happen here that is going to demonstrate a little bit about what happens in our life also as Christians. In Mark chapter 4, verse 37, the Word of God says this. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. And you know what? If I'm going to read Mark chapter 4, verse 37, I can't do it in Matthew. It says this. Mark chapter 4, 37 says, a fierce windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat. So we see this is a situation to kind of set up. This is when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. And it's telling us here, a fierce windstorm arose and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. In other words, the boat was taking in water. Now, I don't know about you, but that wouldn't make me feel very comfortable either. And so we see here that the boat is getting drenched here. But He was in the stern sleeping on the cushion. So they woke Him up and said to Him, Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die? So here's the disciples on this boat, and Jesus is doing what? He's sleeping. He's sleeping in the middle of a giant storm on the ocean. Now, I got to tell you, if you've ever been on a ship in the middle of a storm and the waves are getting really big, sleeping is not something that a lot of people do. I can just tell you that. Now, some, I guess, my brother could sleep through anything. As a matter of fact, I've seen my brother sleep till like 2 in the afternoon before. And then he had to do that when Dad didn't know about it, though, that's for sure, because we usually had chores to do. But that's not me. But they said, don't you care that we're going to die? They just got through saying and looking at God and waking God up and saying, don't you care that we're going to die? Can you imagine saying that to God? God, don't you care that I'm going to die? Don't you care? And of course he cares, we say. We hear that, we go, of course he cares. But hang on through this sermon today, because one of the things that we see in them, we find in ourselves also. And so he got up, Jesus got up, and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, silence, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, why are you fearful? Do you still have no faith? Now, I got to tell you, what I would do is I'd probably be like them going, hey, don't you care that we're going to die? And so I probably would have been one of those people that Jesus would be going, don't you have any faith? And that is the big question there is don't we have any faith? You know, obviously, God was in that boat with them. And what I want to say is when we get on board with God, we're totally on board with God for the good things. And then we see that God is on this boat here. And we see that he's there. And we see that they were afraid. Not only then, but we see also when they were in the upper room after Jesus had been crucified, they were scared then too, weren't they? But one thing that happened is after Jesus was resurrected and he showed himself, we see them from that point on, their faith went what? It went way up. And they got to where they would live strongly for Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about today. In our lives, we have two choices. We can be on the boat with Jesus and we can be totally afraid while life is going on and the storms are going on around us, or we can trust him. And let me tell you something, that's going to require what? Faith. It's going to require faith. How do I know this? Because Jesus said, what are you afraid of? He's saying, I'm God, I'm right here. What are you afraid of? Everything's okay. And so that's the way that we are too. In our lives, we're on the boat with Jesus. But you know, here they are on this boat, but here's another thing that I've got to say as far as this is concerned. Even though we are Christians, if you are a Christian today, if you are born again, that doesn't mean your life's going to be trouble-free, does it? Well, how can you say such a thing? I can say such a thing because I can see this story here. Here's Jesus on a boat. And I don't know about you, but I don't think it's trouble-free to be in the middle of a storm in a boat, in a massive storm. And Lord knows we have our own storms also. I want to share with you a quote from J.C. Ryles. He says, it is preferable to have Christ and good health. It is preferable to have Christ and plenty of money. It is preferable to have Christ and no death of the ones that we love. And it is preferable to have Christ with no family disorder. Isn't it? Isn't that what Jesus does? Makes our life perfect, right? Well, that's what we would prefer, and that's what he's saying. But he goes on and says, but it's not preferable to have Christ and the cross. And yet, that's what happened, isn't it? We had to have God pay for our sins on the cross because we are sinners. And Christ and tribulation. And Christ and conflict, and Christ and the storms. That's the truth of the matter. When we get on the boat with Jesus, and we are on the boat with Jesus whenever we're born again, that doesn't mean that we're trouble-free. That means we are going to have problems. That means that things are going to happen. But it also means that, guess what? Jesus is right there with us. And that's what we see in this here. I don't know if anybody noticed this, but since Adam, mankind has not gotten through unscathed, have we? Since Adam on, life has not been trouble-free. Why would we think so now? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we have people on TV going, hey, if you serve Jesus, you don't have any problems. And we all know they're lying. And sometimes we lie to ourselves. Here's what happens. We get mad at Jesus because here we are on this boat and a storm comes and we go, Jesus,
Don't you know we're going to die? Jesus, don't you know that you need to do something to make my life perfect? And Jesus says, where's your faith? I'm on this boat with you. I'm going through this with you. You know, Jesus in human form, we see, was tired. We see that he got hungry. We see that he got rejected. Have you ever been rejected before? I was rejected, and I'm a Christian. What's the matter, Jesus? Well, so was he. He was hated. Remember? Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, they cried out. And we say, Jesus, I'm serving you, so why do people hate me when I take a stand for you? And he says, well, they hated me too. And when you identify with me, that's going to happen. It's not trouble-free, folks. And we see that he was afflicted. We see that he was tempted, just like every one of us. And get this, Jesus was totally slandered. Have you ever been slandered before? I have. I've had people say that he's a preacher and looking, and they'll say things, and they'll purposely try to find something because I'm trying to identify with Christ. And did you hear what I said? I'm trying, and so are you. And so we see that he was slandered. And I just want you to know that our God and High Priest is very acquainted with our trials and tribulations. Not only acquainted with them, he's in the boat with us. And so we need to get on board with Jesus and trust him. You know, one of the things that we see that Jesus was doing is he demonstrated dependence. He demonstrated dependence. How did he demonstrate dependence? Well, while the storm was going on, what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. Everything was going to be okay. Well, what if we perish? Then we go to paradise. You know? I mean, Jesus knew that everything's under control. Why? Because Jesus has got it under control. We don't. He does. Which leads to my second point this morning. We ride the storms as we approach the other side. We ride them. We don't go unscathed. We don't go around them. We have to go right through them, don't we? We have to go right through them. You know, the disciples had to go through how many storms? How many did they have to go through before getting to paradise? Well, I got to tell you, I don't know if they had more than you or less than you or me. I just know that they had to go through them, and I know that we do too. But let me ask you this question. How in the world do we see that Jesus says that we are required to have faith? How in the world are we required to have faith if we don't have any trials? I've got faith. And then the trial comes, and then our faith goes away. You know, we're on the boat, and yeah, we're on the boat with Jesus, and man, we're fishing and having a great time, and everything's wonderful, and then a storm comes. And we go, Jesus, why are you sleeping? We're just like them, aren't we? We can't live by faith if we don't have trials. And we do have trials. And therefore, that's why the Bible tells us that for by grace are you saved, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created unto Christ unto good works. Do you hear what the Word of God says? First of all, we've got nothing to do with it, our salvation. Jesus has got everything to do with it. And so it's his grace. But we also see this by faith. But faith doesn't just make us go to heaven. Faith makes us his workmanship, doesn't it? Well, what kind of workmanship is it if there's not any trials? And so there we are. We need to walk with Christ, not just be saved. We need to walk with Christ, not just be saved. We need to continue to grow. Those are the things that God does. And let me just say this. Some of the things that you hate the most that's happening in your life maybe right now, or maybe some of the things that's going to build up your faith that God is saying, I just need you to trust me. You're on this boat. I'm on it with you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what I'm going through. He knows. But he also knows, since Adam, that this has been a fallen place. And so we need to walk with Christ, not just be saved. James chapter 3, verse 2. Put in your notes James chapter 3, verse 2. And I was looking and I was preparing about this, and I looked at this verse, and I've seen it a million times, but the million and one time, it finally came alive. And so I'm going to read it to you and see if it comes alive to you this time. James 3, 2 says, "For we all," do you hear that? "All stumble in many ways. Even preachers, even Sunday school teachers, even everybody stumble in all ways." Do you see that? James 3, 2 says we all stumble. "But if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able also to control the whole body." In other words, as we become a Christian and as we grow, we are going to stumble. We are going to have moments where we fail. We're going to have moments where we go, "Jesus, don't you care?" And then as we grow, and that's why we need to be sanctified. And when I say sanctified, that means we're growing in God's Word and growing in our faith and trusting Him and doing what He says. And as we do, we stumble no more. You say, "Stumble no more?" I'm just telling you what it says here. We get to where we actually can have control over these things. But the problem is we want Jesus, but we don't want the faith trials. But the faith trials are going to be the thing that makes you stronger, makes me stronger, makes us stronger. Don't you just love that? I'm sorry, I don't either. I don't want trouble any more than you do. I would love carefree, but that's just not happening because we live in a fallen world, and we get tired of hearing that one too. You know, in 1 Corinthians 10:12, Paul warns us not to become too confident, self-confident. He says, "Take heed lest you fall." I want you to know something. The Word of God tells us there that you better be careful about standing on your own two feet and not depending on God, because if you aren't depending on God to get through this thing, you're going to fall. That's what it's saying. So do we take it negative and go, "Wow, that's negative," or do we take it positive and go, "Yeah, but that means if I depend on God, I won't." And yes, that's what it means. And yes, that's what we need to do. And then here's another one that we see that we are given God's Spirit. We are given God's Spirit to help us. Jesus said, "Before I go away, I'm going to give you a helper. And it's going to be better than even me being with you." Because why? Because they're everywhere. See, God's in the boat with us every moment of our lives. So that leads me to my third point today. We need to allow Jesus to oversee the boat. If we are saved, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are on the boat with Jesus. But here's the thing. If we're on the boat with Jesus, He is the captain. He's the captain of the ship, not us. He's the one in charge. You know, I'll get on that boat and go to church every once in a while and go to a Bible study every once in a while. I'll get on that boat with Jesus. That's not the boat I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting on the boat with Him, and He's your captain. And you go where He says you're going. And the only way that you get to the other side, paradise, like the thief on the cross, paradise is getting on the boat all the way Jesus gets us there. That's the only way that we get there. That's the way that we get there. We get there by dependence on Him. Or we just have craziness, because this world is crazy. And there's no getting around it. And why don't we just get on the boat and let Jesus take care of the crazy? And trust Him. You know, just recently, while we were in California, I did something stupid. And I'm like, you say, "Robert did something stupid." There's nothing new there. And that's true. But I did something stupid not just once, but several times. I got on a roller coaster. I got on a roller coaster. That's stupid. You said, "No, it's not stupid. That's fun." It was more fun when I was a kid. Now it's like, I don't know what I'm doing on this thing, because I start thinking, what's keeping this thing on the tracks? What's keeping this thing on the tracks? As a matter of fact, I'm an idiot because I'll, like, if Tanya, if I manage to talk her into getting into one with me, I always do this, and I know why she doesn't want to get on them anymore, because I always, when we get right up to about the top, getting ready for the drop, I say, what if this thing comes off the rails, then what? Want to ride a roller coaster with me, right? So, anyway, it's pretty dumb to get on a roller coaster. It's pretty dumb to drive through Midland, Texas. It's pretty dumb to get on an airplane these days. But we do it, don't we? We do it. Why is it that we can't get on the boat with Jesus? Because maybe we're going to have some trials. But we'll get on a roller coaster and think, man, some people feel more secure on a roller coaster ride than they do in the boat with Jesus. Ridiculous, isn't it? How ridiculous is it? Well, think about this. How similar are you to those guys that were on the boat with Jesus in this story? There you go. There's your answer. John chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that Jesus made everything. He made everything. Colossians 1:17 tells us, but by Him all things consist. Going back to the roller coaster, one of the things that I noticed after we got off the roller coaster and we were eating our, at Knott's Berry Farm, we're eating our boysenberry and vanilla ice cream, which was wonderful, by the way, a lot better than the roller coaster. And I'm sitting there eating ice cream, and there was these guys that were working on one of the things. There's three guys in their coveralls, and I'm looking at them and going, my life is in those three guys' hands. And I got to tell you, and I'm not being a snob or anything, but one of them didn't look too bright. And I got on the roller coaster that he fixes, that he works on. But I won't get on the boat with Jesus, who created everything. I don't know. You know, when we look at Jesus, he healed, he forgave, he raised people from the dead. He raises people from the dead, I should say, present tense and future. He calms storms. He delivered them from Egypt, the children of Israel from Egypt, and more. He can handle our dependence a lot better than the guy can the roller coaster. That's not even a good analogy, is it? When they went through the storm on that boat, Jesus was there. Jesus was there when they went on that boat. And He's in every storm that we go through now. When we're on the boat with Jesus, and we are, when we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, He's there with us in every situation. You say, well, that feels good. Let me just go back to what this whole series is about. This series is about sanctification. And sanctification is us actually being saved and growing each and every day. We're on this boat with Him. And we'll feel more secure about being on this boat with Him as we grow, not you know, doing everything else. You know, when the disciples finally understood after crucifixion and resurrection, the disciples are like, I'll die for this guy. Why? Because inhale in this life and exhale in paradise. Changes everything. This is what I want to say to everybody here this morning. Right now, something may be hurting you. Right now, something may be hurting you. Right now, maybe somebody is hurting you. And maybe you're saying, Jesus, don't you care? And Jesus said, I'm right there with you. I'm right there in this crazy world of storms. And I'm right there with you, and I'm hurting with you, and I'm going to get you on through to the other side. You hang on. That's what He's saying. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20 says this. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. You say, what has that got to do with this? That's the boat we're on. That's the boat we're on. We're not on any other boat. We're not here for your greatness. We're not here for your brilliance. We're not here for your promotions. We're not here for your money. We're not here for your home. We're here for this right here. That's the boat we're on. But I got to finish what he said. And remember, he says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That means while we do what we're here to do and do what we are on the boat to do, while we do that, he will be there with us. That means he'll take care of our home. He'll take care of our finances. He'll take care of everything, the things that are hurting us. If we'll depend on him and just have faith, he will get us through it. You say, well, he doesn't know what I'm going through. Yes, he does. Well, this one's too big for him, or maybe he doesn't care. And I just want to remind you, isn't that what the disciples said? Don't you care? And his response is, I've got this. Just walk with me or get on the boat with me, he says. So in conclusion, life is not trouble-free, is it? But Jesus has been in our shoes, and in our times of weakness, the Word of God shares with us that that's the time more than ever to draw near to Him. And He has the ability to get us to the other side. And I want you to notice something else about Jesus. He is patient and kind. He cares. He cares what we are going through. He cares about what our troubles are. And I just want to tell you, there is nobody in this world, your boss doesn't care for you. Your company, you say, man, that's just not right to say. But your company doesn't care about you. You've got family members that maybe don't care for you. But Jesus cares. And that's all we need to know to get to the other side. Everybody sitting here right now ultimately is going to experience the time in which you need Christ. You say, ultimately he's going to? We need him every moment. But we are all going to get to that place where those three guys were all getting ready to go on into eternity. And maybe you're sitting here right now and you're saying to yourself, I'm going to wait and just live life a little bit and I'll get it together at the end. Maybe that's what you're thinking. But you know what? Here's the problem. In the good times is a very dangerous time. In the good times, we get filled with pride. Oh, things are good, and I'm good. And I don't need Jesus, and I don't need the church, and I don't need. I got myself, and I got everything. And pride happens. And I want to tell you something. Pride is the reason why that other guy who went into eternity without Christ, pride was his problem. He went through life thinking, I got this. So much that when the time came for him to trust Jesus, he went, no. Because this is all more important. And that's what happens. We don't want to become permanently calloused. There's actually a warning there. Christian, maybe you're on the boat with Jesus, but you went off the boat with Jesus for a while, and then you'll get back on him later. And I just want to tell you, that's the kind of pride that will make a calloused heart, will make you go so far away from him, and the next thing that's coming is a storm like you've never seen before. And we don't want to go there. I want to close today in Romans chapter 1. I want to close with a warning to go along with what we've been talking about getting on the boat with Jesus. And I want to talk about, as we close today, in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 17. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 17. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, very important set of verses here. For in it, God's righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. And so when we look at the things that are going on around us, they're there to show us that what? That God's real. Now, I know we're supposed to share the gospel too, but people see Jesus is real without my mouth or yours. And it says it's revealed from faith for faith. Faith is given for us to get what? More faith, More faith for what? To get through the rest of life. We live life by faith. You don't believe me? Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Faith is how it's done. We get on the boat with faith. And we have faith for faith to get to the end, to the other side. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. God's saying, get on the boat. Since what can be known about God is evident among them because God has shown it to them. God's not invisible. God's not for just some people. God's for every person. But some people want to look at him and go, get us off this cross and let us get on with our life. But other people are going, I belong on this cross. I'm a sinner. The difference? Pride. Not Jesus preferring one over another, but pride. From the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what he has made. As a result, people are without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense and their senseless minds were darkened. That's what happens. That's callousness. That's people going, I'll look at Jesus later. I'm not getting on the boat with them. I'll get on later. And their hearts become calloused. And they start going, hey, I'm kind of doing this thing on my own. And I'm pretty brilliant. And then you end up like the criminal at the end of life going, all I want is you to get me out of this situation. And the only way out of this situation is to walk with him and let him be your God. That's it. And that's what the Bible's saying here. Claiming to be wise, they become fools, exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. What does that mean? That means that God is so far above anything that he created, and yet people want to bring him down to our level. Therefore, God delivered them up over their cravings of their hearts to sexual impurity, so that their bodies were degraded amongst themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served something created instead of the Creator. And so we look at the thief on the cross that said, just get us off there. He was so busy just thinking about his life that he became calloused. But what I'm trying to say today is we get on the boat with Jesus and walk in faith, and we get to the other side. That's how we do it, and we do it every day. Or we become calloused. Our hearts become hard. It says God gives them up over. It's not saying that God magically does something. It's what the human being does with pride. That's why some people go on into eternity without Jesus. And I hope it's nobody here today. Stand with me if you will, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, protect us from callousness. Lord, protect us from callousness and help us to just to trust you in the good times, in the bad times, all of the time. And Father, I pray if there's anybody here today that doesn't know your Son, Jesus, as their Savior, I pray that they will look at what he did on the cross. He paid for their sins where they could have eternal life. And I pray they'll realize and drop their pride and realize they need it. Because we can't do anything about what's ultimately coming as far as physical life is concerned. Lord, we want to walk with you. And Lord, we want to trust you in our storms and in calm waters too, Father. And Lord, if somebody doesn't know you as their Savior today, I pray that they'll be saved. They'll come up here and pray and be saved. And they can get through whatever waters there is in this life. So, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for our morning service. If you reside in Midland or surrounding areas, we hope to see you in person. We are located at 1305 North Midland Drive, north of Cuthbert and south of the Andrews Highway. We are also distributing DVDs of The Life of Jesus. If you would like a copy, send us an email with your return address. Our email address is ahbcmidland@suddenlymail.com. Have a great week, and may God bless.